dirt roads to rock crawling, two-buck Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode number 8, Numero Ocho, the Ocho.
What, the Ocho?
Chris, sitting across from me here in the studio this evening, how the heck are you?
I'm doing really well tonight, Jason. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Well, I asked you first, so you're still recovering from all your ailments. You're good now? Are you 100%? Would you say you're 100%?
I'm not 100%. I'm starting to wonder if these are allergies.
Oh, jeez. Everybody blames shit on allergies.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous that
Give me a percentage of your level of health here.
Well, I theoretically caught another cold, so that was like back to back.
What the heck?
Yeah, I don't know.
Glad I don't live in your house.
Getting weak in my old age.
Old, that gray hair.
Yeah, well, I got a haircut today, so there's not quite as much gray hair as there used
there
to
you
be.
Go.
And
got
I,
your ears
and I had a hat on earlier, but you know.
Anyway, so you going to give? Can I go? I'm just going to pick. You look like you're about a 81%.
81.
Okay. 81%.
81.
Would you go with
good.
That?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, there you go. 81%. I'm about 92%. I would say.
Wow.
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, you don't sound nasally or anything.
No, so. And I've had a half a glass of wine and a cocktail. I'm doing pretty good.
Perfect. Nothing better on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah, that's correct. So, starting out this podcast, our last podcast just dropped today.
Did it?
It did. Thanks to our technical editor and technician with the propeller hat.
He really has a propeller hat,
yes,
too.
Yes. Chris went out and bought a propeller hat, and it looks good on him. Looks good on you, Danny.
That might show up on the gram at some point.
So that episode was a late night drunken fest, it actually turned out better than I thought listening to it. I was laughing.
Well, but between the alcohol and the exhaustion.
We were definitely struggling to enunciate our words properly.
No doubt about it.
Don't drink and podcast. I don't know. We seem to do all right there, but that was fun. That was fun. Fun recording it. Fun listening to it this morning.
Absolutely.
So we had to do a little bit of editing, but...
a little bit.
It came okay.
Let's just say that as this podcast succeeds, we hope it succeeds in the long term, that there could be some interesting outtakes that show up.
That would be a good. Yeah, you're going to have to footnote some of those.
The blooper reel.
Some of those outtakes there. Anyway, here we are. It's June. We're in the late June now. One more week of June left.
July 4th is right around the corner.
4th of July is next week. On a Thursday, nonetheless, which is going to, you know, everybody's going to be cutting out of town on Tuesday or Wednesday in the Bay Area.
Yeah, the freeways are
going to
be clogged.
I was considering going up to Squaw Valley to the, ski the, what do they call it, Freedom Fest or something.
Is that the are they going to close right after
that's
that?
That's it, yeah. I think they're closing that Sunday.
That's just epic.
This Sunday they'd close, but pretty phenomenal.
That's the last game in town?
Well, last game in our town, and then Mammoth Mountain staying open till August, which like to get to.
So is that realistic? I mean, based on what you saw last weekend, I mean...
Very realistic. Very, very realistic. I skied Squaw 2 years ago, 4th of July, and ton of people, but it was a lot of fun. And the vibe, everybody's out there having a good time. And everybody wearing red, white, and blue, and it was a lot of fun. So
that's cool. And red, white, and blue bikinis and stuff?
Well, yeah. There was a lot of skin showing, and a lot of skin that shouldn't have been showing, but
Well, you got to take the bad with the good.
You take the bad with the good. And that's where you put on the really dark goggles, and you can take them off if you need to. A couple things to address here. Listen to the Snail Trail podcast with Jimmy and Tyler.
Oh yeah, no,
you know
for sure
those guys are. I think off to episode 9 or something now. They're getting
was it 9?
They're a couple ahead of us.
Yeah, well, time lapse.
And they were talking about one of Jimmy's buddies has a buggy.
That's right.
Yeah, with heated seats. And that was one of the first things I did, modification to my buggy, was put in a heated seat because it was rear engine. And there's no engine heat in the front.
Nope.
Which I welcome in the summertime.
And this, for sure. Yeah.
But driving around King of the Hammers in February this last year was really cold, but with the heated seat, it worked great. So
how's the passenger working on it?
There's no passenger heated seat yet. I don't really care about my passengers. Although I will say that the passenger safety is higher than the driver's safety because there's a harness in the passenger side where there is no harness in the driver's side. I purposely took the harness out. I can't drive with harnesses. I like to move around and look. I got my lap belt.
But those are stout. Those are stout.
They are, but still, harness is the way to go if you're doing some crazy extreme.
Yeah, no, you never do any of that stuff.
I don't do any of that, so we won't worry about that. But the other thing that struck me in their podcast is they were talking about the perfect wheelbase. And that was a good question. One of the listeners emailed into them and was asking about, you know, what is the quote unquote perfect wheelbase? Well, as we all know, there's no perfect wheelbase for wheeling. I, over my years of wheeling, you know, 30 years, I was targeting 110 wheelbase with my Jeep. My CJ5, I stretched out and it's, 91.
That's stretched out.
91.
That's as good as it's going to get.
But I was going to try and push it out to, you know, a hundo, somewhere in there, 101, you know, if I could, which you could, but you're doing some major cutting and stuff.
Right.
I already pushed it front axle forward, rear axle back.
Do a comp cut on the back. And
yeah, exactly. So, but 110, I thought, was just the quote-unquote, if you had to pick a number, and then they were saying 105, which I would agree with. Anywhere in that 105, 110, 112 range, but it all depends. I mean, like Moab, you know, if you have a four-door JK, perfect vehicle out there, wheelbase for stability and all those steep climbs and everything. But you're going to Fordyce, you know, 100, 105 is good. 110 with 43 plus 44 inch tires, you're right there. You're perfect. So
what's depends the buggy?
On Bucky's 110.
Right.
And I have been very, very happy with that wheelbase with 43s.
That's perfect.
So it is. It's a combination of tire size and, you know, wheelbase. Anyways, those were a couple notes that I wanted to address at the beginning of our podcast that I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
you could spend a whole podcast on talking about the, you know, wheelbase and tire sizes and what's perfect and what trail is the best for those setups.
Exactly.
And, you know, each one's different, and I mean, you know, there's some luck involved too. You come up to an obstacle and there's a guy in front of you in a four door JK and he's on, you know, 38s, 40s, and walks right up it. And then here we are on a CJ5 with a 92-inch wheelbase, and I struggle. And vice versa. There's obstacles that I'll walk right over that four-door JK will get hung up on. So it's all give and take.
Of course, and that's why there's a winch.
That's why there's a winch and toe straps. The toe strap comes out before the winch, typically, but
of course,
always carry a couple toe straps with you.
Absolutely.
And don't wheel alone, right, Chris?
Never wheel alone.
No, no. So one of the other things, we talked about towing the last couple podcasts, and I actually finally, I had ordered some new shocks for my truck.
Oh, yeah.
My tow rig, my F-350, 2017 Ford pickup.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to make sure everybody knows Ford.
Ford.
Best tow rig around.
Yeah, anyways. We know somebody that had theirs break down recently, though.
Who was that?
Art.
Oh, Art? Well, he had an alternator go bad.
Still.
Really, it's not like a blown engine or some, I mean, an alternator goes bad, a water pump goes bad, still, a tire goes flat,
still,
and you're saying it's a four. Okay, whatever. You Dodge guys are all the same. John was, and all them were, all those Dodge guys were all over Art's breakdown on his drive back out to California.
I'm just saying.
Because his alternator freaking fried. All right.
Okay.
It was probably a Dodge alternator, I'm thinking.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, back to Ford talk, Ford podcast talk.
So how are those new shocks? Did you get them installed?
So I did. So I did a little, you know, homework on the interweb there. There's a couple good little forums of people talking about their shock modifications. And, of course, they're, you know, some guys are going King coilover and crazy stuff and remote reservoir and all that. And I'm like, no. I just want a good, solid. Chris just put on his propeller hat. This is going to get good. I just wanted a good, solid shock. It came with some Rancho shocks.
Well, that was with the off-road suspension.
Yeah, the quote-unquote off-road package. And nobody liked them, including myself. And I got a little over 30,000 miles on the truck, and I said, okay, it's time to change out the shocks.
So what'd you put in?
The Fox 2.0.
Oh, uh-huh.
No reservoir, just a simple standard shock. They were on sale, no tax, four-wheel parts. And I'm like, let's do it. So I put them on.
Make it happen.
And I'll post up a picture of the Rancho shock next to the Fox shock. Not only do they look better, but they are significantly better ride. And with the camper on, it's dialed in. Going up Highway 4 up to our adopter trail last weekend, that real windy section, that was the true test.
Just after Arnold?
Just after Arnold. No, Angels Camp. Just after Angels Camp. You come into Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. Just after Angels Camp, it gets real windy, up, down, left, right, hairpin turns, and yeah, truck handled beautifully. So I was happy about that modification. It was pretty easy. Took cool. About an hour to unbolt the old shocks and bolt on the new ones.
All four?
All four.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. No, you only replace one? Or is that what the Dodge guys do or what?
No, we replace all four. Oh, okay. I just haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
So with your glowing recommendation, I think I might go with
it. Well, check it out and see. Bilstein, I mean, there's a lot of good shocks out there.
I've heard
you know, the Rancho 9000s are great, too. Uh-huh. That's another great shock that's adjustable. So, you know, whatever. See what works for you. But I was happy with those.
Cool. Well, I know I'm due. My truck has around 40-something thousand miles on it, so.
Oh, it's almost ready to trade in.
Almost, Dick.
So yeah, that was a follow-up on the towing of the truck. And we'll have to do a more in-depth. We hit some highlights, and we got into some depth. The basics. We definitely covered basics of towing.
Right. And to kind of jump in here a little bit, let's say, first of all, we are definitely not experts on this, but we just know what works for us. And I believe we said that at the beginning of the first part of the towing thing. But we do know what works for us, and we've used a lot of different equipment. So this would be a great opportunity for listeners to provide feedback. If you have any questions regarding towing setups, and we have had questions, and we've obviously responded to them. But if you have any further questions regarding a setup, please don't hesitate to send us an email. Jason's email is jason@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com. And my email is chris@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com. Backslash propeller hat. But just to kind of interject again, we did speak of equipment and some equipment that I strongly believe in, the torque lift hitches, the torque lift super truss extension system. And Jason,
are we sponsored by them now?
No, we're not. Oh. But
you're working it pretty good.
I'm working it pretty good. Well,
no, you believe in the product.
The equipment's good. It works.
And that's what we talked about. We're going to talk about products we believe in on this podcast.
The stable loads that you and I both have on our trucks are fantastic,
sure.
Inexpensive, very worthwhile upgrade to your suspension to help you carry the load of a truck camper. There's all sorts of options for different, you know, Chevy, Ford, Dodge. You go to torquelift.com. It's a great website.
And they got good customer support too. You call in with questions and everything, and they're going to point you in the right direction.
And they have great YouTube videos too.
Oh yeah, the YouTube videos are great. Stuff.
So, another thing that I didn't mention before, but another guy that's made a name for himself on YouTube is, I don't know the actual guy's name, but his channel is Big Truck Big RV.
And Big Truck Big RV.
He's a guy. He lives in Texas. He has a Ford F-450.
There you go. I like the guy already.
And he tows a
got to be a good guy.
Big honking fifth wheel.
Okay.
That he and his family recreated, and he talks all about. He's a sponsor. He's not a sponsor for us, but he has a lot of sponsors. It's a very well supported channel.
Okay.
But a lot of really good information there. I watch his videos. I follow
them. Oh, really? I'll check that out.
And he talks about all the brands, Chevy, Ford, Dodge, and what he likes about them, what he doesn't like about them. But, you know, he's a big supporter of the Ford F-450. He likes the tight turning radius with the wide track axle,
Wide front axle. That's what I've got on mine.
So, anyway, those are just some things regarding towing. We're not going to really get more into it unless you have questions. That's all.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And you're right. So, we don't claim to be experts, but we've got a lot of miles on towing miles.
Yes.
And, for whatever that's worth, we've learned a few things over the years, I should say. And, lubing your balls, making sure your hitch pin's in, stuff like that, you know.
We can make a song out of that.
Now, have you done any more homework on the weight distributing hitch for your truck?
I did not.
See, you need to do your homework, and you need to make that happen.
Unfortunately, real life is impacting me right now.
But the work thing, but... You know, just take a couple minutes while you're eating your sandwich at lunch and look into that.
But I'm watching Big Truck, Big RV.
Apparently you are. you need to watch the episode about weight distributing hitch. I think you're going to go, damn.
He does talk about that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, see?
So, there you go.
Okay.
Whoop. There it is.
Whoop. There it is. So, what else we got? Logo. We've been working on this logo saga. We had this like temporary sketch that you've all seen on there, and it's good. Our concept's there, but my buddy John at Dirtbag Clothing, he's got all these contacts, and we've been working on this thing, and everybody's busy, and we said, okay, finally I had a come to Jesus meeting with him and said, hey, what's going on? Do we need to cut bait or are we moving forward? He goes, nope, dude. He goes, actually, I'm sponsoring your logo. We're going to kick this thing up a notch. I go, you're what? He goes, yeah, I want to get your guys as a good logo that we can work with for swag and stuff in the future. So I go, well, that's cool. Totally unnecessary because, we're not super popular or anything, but I would definitely like to get some swag going.
For sure.
And that is in the works, and we're supposed to be seeing something here any day now for proof that would get, from once it gets approved, then we color it up, we approve that, and then it's a done deal. And then it could be in any format we want,
koozies,
keychains, shirts, your boxer briefs could be embroidered. Whatever you want there, Chris. So your propeller hat. We can put a logo on your propeller
hat.
Heck
yeah.
So stickers. Definitely got to get some stickers going to hand out at the different events. But anyways, it's been fun. We've got, 100 and something followers on Instagram now.
Yeah, getting close to 120, I think.
Our downloads are cranking up here on – we got how many reviews on Apple iTunes? We're pushing, I don't know, 18 or 20 five-star reviews. So
yeah, no,
thank
happening.
You guys and gals that have taken the time to write a review or click the five-star button on there.
Absolutely.
We love that. We're having fun with this thing. As we said, if we stop having fun, the podcast is over with. Done.
It'll never end because we're having too much fun. as last episode attests.
Yeah. So one other thing before I get into our adopted show, Chris, just observations of driving around the Bay Area here. I'm up in the F-450, so I'm looking down on a lot of the vehicles that are driving around the roadways.
You deign to look down on the people?
Well, I know. I'm not saying that I'm above them, but physically I'm above them because I'm in a bigger truck and they're in their little car.
Prius?
Well, yes, there's definitely a lot of Priuses out there and they're Teslas and,
I like Teslas.
No, I know. They're okay. They're okay.
Those things blow the doors off.
I like all the raptors we've got running around the Bay Area. There's a lot of cool raptors running around the Bay Area.
There are a lot. I followed one down this afternoon.
Did you? See? Yeah. But anyway, so I'm just driving along, and we're in traffic, and, you know, everybody's kind of zoning out, listening to music, talking on their phone, whatever they're doing, looking listening at Instagram, to listening to podcasts.
Nice.
So it's just funny.
See what we did there?
It's just funny if you just kind of look at other people and see what's going on. So I had this guy pull up to me the other day on my driver's side, and I was out the peripheral vision. I just, you know, could see that, you know, something was going on, and I look over, and he's full on picking his nose.
Oh, good.
Just full bore
digging for gold.
Digging. Full bore gold digging.
Looking for them nuggets.
I just start busting up laughing, right? Like, this guy is so oblivious to the environment that he's in right now, and he's just digging for gold. And I'm looking over at him, and I look at the person on his driver's side now, because I'm on the passenger side looking in from the passenger side, right? Well, my driver's side. So the person over on the other side of him is looking and just dying laughing, you know? So just the reactions, and this guy's just totally oblivious.
Did it look like he was going to hurt himself?
I don't know. I turned away, and then I turned back to see the driver laughing at the other vehicle, and I was That's laughing, funny. And I just, you know, just turned up my Led Zeppelin and went on with my horrible commute. It was just funny, some of the things you see out on the highway there.
Oh, no
looking,
doubt.
Looking into other vehicles when people are just oblivious.
That's why I enjoy driving my big truck, because that's exactly the stuff you get to see.
Mm-hmm.
My new little truck, I'm pretty much at the same level as everybody else, which is fine.
Which, yeah, whatever. It's good.
So,
you liking your new truck?
I am. It's being equipped. I've got to get toolboxes.
Oh, I thought maybe you were putting a lift on it or something.
No.
You putting some lights on there? The
yeah,
light
I got
bar.
16 light bars.
You
yeah.
should put a light bar on there for your job. That'd be good early morning.
Yeah.
I put some rock lights on there for driving around.
We have light bars on the mowers. They're pretty
See?
Badass.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So, but no, definitely. I ordered a toolbox. Came in today. Hopefully, it'll get installed tomorrow. And I bought a trailer hitch for it Reese receiver hitch for the back.
2-inch?
2-inch, uh-huh.
Now, did you get what you call a ball carrier?
No, I already have a ball carrier.
You do have a ball carrier.
I salvaged that from the old truck.
Okay. So your ball carrier survived the crash.
Yep. And let's full closure. The old truck has been officially totaled.
Yeah.
And we've been... we're going to get a payout.
Gone.
On it. So, yeah, it's being...
She gone.
Being,
so, they crush that, or what happens with that truck?
I don't know what happens at that point, but the insurance company who totaled it out...
Does it get parted out? You would hope it gets parted out, but all this insurance crap... Well, I understand, but, I mean, there's a lot of good,
Well, the toolboxes
usable parts.
Will probably be used by somebody, and maybe the rear end and rear body panels.
You probably don't want to use the driver's seat. There's probably a brown stain in the center of that.
First you say it, then you do it. I didn't even have time to say it. So, but anyway, so yeah, that's that chapter's officially over now. So,
well, that's good. Well,
yeah. So yeah, just right now, just equipping the truck to be, you know, more efficient for me to do my job.
Right.
Because I gotta carry my tools with me when I'm out and about.
Well, absolutely.
So, one of the things that my old truck had was, you know, those tow trucks, they have those quick connect.
For battery?
Jumper cable thing.
Yeah.
So my old truck had a plug in the front bumper. And
did you
I had
put that in, or was it there?
It was the previous superintendent that had it.
Oh, okay.
Put it in.
That's a good, nice feature.
I salvaged the long end with the
yeah,
jaws,
okay. So you just need to put the connector back to the battery in the truck. You should totally do that. That's
because
a great feature.
Can't unbolt that from a truck.
No.
Right. Well, I couldn't open the hood anyway, so.
And remember, lights before lockers.
Lights before lockers.
Lights before lockers.
So that's kind of that.
Lockers before lights. Come on now.
Lockers before lights.
But for your job, I think lights before lockers.
Well, it's not a four-wheel drive truck, so.
Well, okay. So locker.
Locker. So, Jason.
Yes. Are you interviewing me now, or what's going on?
We had some serious news in the industry that you might want to talk about, or we might want
yes,
to talk about.
Oh, yes, we did. So, are you referring to Rod Hall?
I am.
Yeah. So, some sad news. Rod Hall passed on, but 81 years old.
81. Boy, he lived a fast and
furious
life. Yeah,
and he was a local boy. He was in Reno, Nevada.
Boy, what a groundbreaking. He was a groundbreaker. That guy opened a lot of doors.
He was the godfather of off-road racing, I guess you could say. I mean, and a super nice guy. I got to meet him once. Chatted with him for a few minutes, but super down to earth and man, what an accomplished career he had. Last November, so not that long ago.
No, not long ago at
all. Was the first time since 1967 when that was the first year of Baja 1000, which at the time it was known as the Mexican 1000. Okay, holy, so 1967.
Boy. I wasn't even alive yet. That's 19, saying a lot.
No, I wasn't. I can honestly say I wasn't alive yet. So, that was the first year of the Mexican 1000, known to us now as the Baja 1000.
Right.
And that was the first time that he did not compete. Okay?
In
all those years.
Holy moly.
He competed in 50 consecutive Mexican 1000, which turned into the Baja 1000, as we know today.
That's got to be
50 consecutive.
That's got to be a record that nobody's.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever going to touch that. He was a 25-time class winner.
Wow.
In the Baja 1000. And you know what he drove?
Yeah.
In the very first
Ford
Mexican 1000.
Bronco, right?
No.
Jeep.
Nope. It was a Jeep.
A Dodge.
Stock. You ready? Yeah. A stock CJ5.
No way.
Was the first race.
Like what, 27?
That he did in 1967.
Holy crap.
And he made it from Tijuana to La Paz. Now, this is the other thing that kind of blows you away today, because you're thinking, okay, you know, from Tijuana to La Paz, if you know your geography in Mexico, it's like, okay. And especially in this day and age, you can look it up on your phone, right?
You can punch
in Waze, map, software, whatever. You're going to get there somehow, some way, if you've got a running vehicle. They didn't have that software back then. They had compasses.
And paper maps.
And paper maps. So, and they literally.
An ocean on their right.
He admitted that they didn't know where they were going. They knew they had to end up in La Paz, but they didn't know where La Paz was. But they followed their compass and turned down a street and they ended up in La Paz.
Do you ever think that maybe at one point they said, hey, the ocean's not supposed to be on our left?
I'm sure the ocean was a good indicator for them. But I mean, he participated in off-road races around the world.
That's incredible.
You know, the cool thing, and probably the crowning moment of his career is you know, the 50th running, 50th time he ran the Baja 1000. He did it in his restored 1969 Bronco.
Uh-huh.
You know, the world famous Rod Hall Bronco.
The one we all see the pictures
exactly
of. Yeah.
His race winning Bronco. So, pretty freaking cool. What a storied career in off-roading history. And, boy, I don't know if anybody's ever going to match that. So,
huge loss for the
hats off to Rod Hall. 81. You did it right, man.
Condolences to his family.
Yeah, you did it right. But gosh, what a great career. So, sorry to hear that news, but great to celebrate his life in off-road racing.
Absolutely.
And I know, you know, you see tons of articles and stuff throughout the years.
Cheers to Rod Hall.
Cheers to Rod Hall. Here we go.
Woo-hoo. We're too far apart. This studio's too big.
Studio's got an extra long table today. So there you go. What else? What else, Chris? Why don't you talk about what we're drinking tonight?
Oh, well, I didn't do any research on it, honestly.
Boy,
we're drinking a Syrah.
Yeah, so tell me your flavor taste, and if you say you taste mint, I'm going to kick you out of the studio.
No, I'm better with wine. I'm still congested, so I don't know.
Oh, gosh, here we go. So it's a Lewis and Grace.
From the Sierra Foothills.
Yeah, Placerville, California.
Cherry,
so
a little bit of oak.
There you go. And it's right out of, it's on your way up to the Rubicon.
Yeah, right. Placerville, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's, yeah, so you could stop there on the way in or the way out of the Rubicon.
Absolutely. Is anybody going to the Rubicon soon?
Maybe somebody's going next weekend. Maybe. This weekend. I don't know. We'll talk about that.
So this is a 2010? I can't read the
label. It's a 10, yes. Yeah.
2010 Syrah from Lewis Grace. Very, very flavorful. It's not heavy. It's a good summery wine. Red, obviously. Good flavor. I'm detecting cherry and oak. It's drinking really well.
Well, there you go. I wonder what the alcohol content is. It seems probably a little hot.
Probably 14.
I haven't looked at it. I don't know. I'm thinking it's pushing 14.8 or 15. Well, there you go. Why don't you check that out and see? But it is. It's a nice wine. The people are super cool there. There's quite a history with this Lewis and Grace winery, dating back to 1777. 15. See, I know it was hot. I could tell it's a hot wine. But that's typical up in that Placerville area because of the heat. Well, don't mind if I do. Top that bad boy off. Yes. What is the pour? That's an eagle. So what's the name of that company? It's a pewter silver. Well, it's not silver, but it's pewter. The company that makes all those.
I don't know. I've never bought one. You're the one.
Oh, they're cool. I've got like a dozen of them. They look cool and they work great. They aerate the wine.
Almost every time we visit this one winery in Livermore, they carry a lot of these.
What's the name of the? I'll have to look that up. We got to get our crack research team on that.
Hey Lorenzo, jump on that, eh?
Yeah,
Lorenzo, our producer. He's
Lorenzo is our official producer.
He's kind of an ass.
He really is an ass, isn't he? Well, we'll just leave it there for now, and we'll let the listeners ponder over that, and we'll reveal.
Lorenzo, get to work.
That's classic. So back to Lewis and Grace. Let's see. I think they started in like 2007.
Oh, so they're not very old.
Not very old, but I was there shortly after that. When they opened up, I mean, cool family operation. Mm-hmm. And the son is making the wine and doing a pretty damn good job, I might say.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, you get some, you know, up there, the Zinfandels in the El Dorado County, you know, Barbera is a great grape that grows well up there. Cab does well, Syrah.
Well, I drank a Zin from that area last night.
Well, see, look at you. You're digging deep in your cellar, huh?
I did. So, cheers.
Cheers.
And, you know, that area, I had never really thought of the Sierra Foothills as a big wine-producing area, but there's a shocking number of wineries in that area. And so, if you're ever up in the area on your way to or from, as Jason mentioned before, to or from the Rubicon or Tahoe or any of the other wonderful areas to visit in that area, please stop off in Placerville.
Absolutely. There's you can spend a weekend plus just checking out all the wineries there.
And Apple Hill too, right?
You're right there at Apple Hill, you know. Yeah, that happens in the fall, and that's a crazy festival for like month and a half long.
Pretty much.
Gets busy up there, but it's super cool. And man, some good apple pie.
Yeah.
Hard to beat. Ooh, apple pie.
Apple pie.
That sounds good right now, actually.
So Jason, I have something I need to get off my shoulders.
Uh-oh, here we go. What do we got?
We may think it, but Chris is going to say it.
You ever go to the gas station?
All the time.
I know, we drive gas guzzlers. Yeah. You know what really annoys the hell out of me when I pull up into a gas station?
Oh boy, here we go.
Is the people that drive into the gas station, and it's, you know, most gas stations have a little mini mart.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They get out of their car, the whole brood gets out of the car, and they run into the store.
Right.
And they're gone for like freaking 20 minutes, and they're blocking the pumps.
Yep.
And you're sitting there with your truck, your camper, your trailer, your Jeep, and you're like waiting, wait, and it's like a it's like only two or three pumps or four pumps, and waiting, and fucking waiting.
Especially if you're towing a trailer, no consideration.
It happens all the time. It's like what is wrong with you people? Why? What makes you think? And then they come out after 10 minutes or whatever with their big gulps or their mega slurpees, you know, their liter of cola.
Liter of cola. I'll have a liter of cola.
And then they start pumping gas. Nobody could stay behind and pump the gas to kind of streamline
the operation. No, no. Or stay back with the car once it's done pumping gas to drive off and park in front of the mini mart.
Right. Well, that would be the smart thing to do.
Oh, gosh. That would be unbelievable.
I mean,
considerate.
This happened to me.
There's other people in this world.
This has happened to me several times, but the most ridiculous time it ever happened was I was heading to, I think I was going to run the not Deer Valley. I was going to run, Slick Rock.
Uh huh.
And I was heading up through Copperopolis. And this is before they had opened up that fancy little stop they have there with the Shell station.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So you go a little bit past that and you make that right turn. And there was like that little mom and pop gas station with like the two pumps. And it was just, anyway, I pulled in there. I had Craig with my oldest kid with me, and I was in the Jeep before I was towing anything. And so there were people in front of us that did that. They piled out of their vehicle. It's like one pump on each.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they disappeared for like 15. I'm like honking the horn. I'm like, and it's just, you know what? Don't do that, please. There's, I know we're all self-centered and whatnot, but this just needs to stop. When you're done, when you get to the gas station, somebody stays behind, fills the car up, pulls the car away, and everybody comes back from the bathroom where they're getting their liter of cola or their Twinkies or their ding dongs or whatever they're doing.
Ho-hos. Do they still make ho-hos?
Yeah, we can say ho-hos. Anyway, don't do that.
Okay, that's a good one. And that's a good tip for people. It's just to, you know, realize that there are other people in this world, other people that need gas, other people that are towing trailers that, and you know, I will, you know, add to that is when people pull in and, you know, there's three pumps in a row.
Uh-huh.
And they stop at the very first pump instead of pulling all the way to the pump, two pumps ahead of them.
That's why you need a 50 caliber machine gun on your car.
It's just like, come on, people, let's be considerate of other drivers. But there you go. There's a good, that's the rant of the week.
Woohoo!
By Chris. So I got to do the rant last week, which was kind of fun.
You did.
And, I'm going to have Johnny record a little bumper for my rant.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be as cool as yours, but that one had been stewing for a long, long time. And you said, hey, I don't really have a rant this week. And I said, oh, I got one. So there you go.
Bubbling over.
Yeah. I got another one too that's okay. Skewing. So,
assignment of the week is to get Johnny to record another.
Yeah, I've been trying. I'm trying to get our logo out of him too. Well, so, you know. Yeah,
okay. Hold on. Here. Good luck.
So, little Ultra 4 update since we like to talk about Ultra 4. So the results of the Clash at Crossbar.
That was
ranch.
In Oklahoma, right?
Davis, Oklahoma.
Woo-hoo.
And it was a good one. There was some good. I mean, that's a tight course. And they had some weather, so it was a little wet over there. But
I watched some of the highlight reels.
Did you really? Yeah. There, I was looking on social media. There was, you know, of course, Lauren Healy posts a lot and Shannon Campbell and stuff. But I didn't see much else out there. Ultra 4. You know, had their stuff, but looking on their website, Ultra 4 website, ultra4racing.com,
right.
And they got some good photos, some good action shots. But Derek West ended up winning the 4400 class, and Vaughn Griffin Jr. took second, which is part of the Funhaver team, Lauren Healy's and Vaughn Griffin Jr.
Okay.
So, and then Josh Blyler, great guy, was third. And I got to throw a shout out to our local boy, JP Gomez. He rounded out the fourth spot there.
Oh, good.
So that's cool. And then another cool note in the UTV race, Shannon was riding right seat with his daughter, Bailey.
Oh, very cool.
And took second. So Bailey took second there. So that's pretty cool.
No doubt.
So anyways, great race, and I am really, really can't wait for King of the Hammers again. This is coming up.
I'm going to be there this year. I missed it last year because I had work obligations, but those are not on the docket.
Yeah, went to Prairie City over the winter, and that's a good local race for us up there out of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And you get to see everybody. It's well attended by the drivers, but yeah, I mean nothing. Nothing compares to KOH. No. So,
anything local from them soon or no?
Oh, good question. Let's see what the let's go into the schedule here and see if anything.
I looked at the schedule and we were like in Kentucky.
So here, yeah, like July 19th, Battle in Bluegrass, Bedford, Kentucky.
Why don't
we go to Kentucky and do a little research for the podcast? We could do an Ultra 4 update live, and what do they got going on in Kentucky, Chris?
Oh, bourbon.
Bourbon. We could tour some distilleries.
You know who's next to Kentucky is Tennessee.
And Tennessee, and we could go visit our buddy Jack over in Tennessee.
I hear Jack's got a pretty nice operation.
Mr. Daniels. This is the other one I want to go to, just because it sounds like a fun place, is the Dirty Turtle. The Dirty Turtle. That's a great name for an off-road park, the Dirty Turtle, love it, and then August 2nd, they're in, where are they, Alabama? They're going to the Bama.
I'm not going to Alabama.
Hawk Pride, cross-country championship.
Didn't they used to have a race up near Truckee?
No, you're thinking of the rock, that's the technical rock crawling.
Oh, that wasn't a rock racing?
Yeah, that's We Rock.
We Rock.
That's super cool. At Donner Ski Ranch, I mean, some crazy moon buggies going
to some of that stuff, too.
Yeah, that's fun. I've been to quite a few of those up there at Donner. That's a party up there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So, yeah, so a lot of stuff coming up in Kentucky. We need to hit one of these.
Okay, we'll put in the expense, the budget for 2020.
Oh, so Ridgecrest, I'll just throw out one more, the Lasernut Western Series. So this is, I think I'm going to go to this one. This is September 13th in Ridgecrest. We potentially have a friend of ours racing in the UTV race there.
Oh, we do.
So I'll find out more this weekend. I'm wheeling the Rubicon with him, and I'll pick his brain and see if he's going to pull the trigger on that one.
Sweet, let us know.
And if so, I'm going to have to go down there and check that out.
Okay.
That would be a good run to go to and watch some racing.
Sweet.
So, there you go. Hey, let's actually talk about wheeling, since this is called Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Yes, sir.
I actually, myself, you weren't there, but you were there in spirit, I know.
Real
you
had life to, is getting
You
away.
Had to work and stuff, but I was there at our adopted trail for our club.
Correct.
Esprit de Four out of San Jose. And always a fun time at the adopted trail. It's a lot of work.
Yes, it is. Well, it depends on the year. But
it does depend on the year, but it is a lot of work. There's always some significant sized trees crossing the trail that we have to cut up and remove. You know, a little bit of water bar work. To divert water off the trail without causing erosion.
Might even be snow removal.
And then we have had some snow removal in the years. Well, this year has been Snowmageddon. And we were going to cancel our weekend, last weekend. But literally like 5 days before, I got an email from the Forest Service saying, you guys are welcome to come up and try and get done what you can. There's a lot of snow.
Uh-huh.
But we would love to have you up here and get done as much as you can.
What did you find?
So we found a lot of snow right out of the gate. Big, you know, 5-6 foot berms that are.
So this was last weekend. Today is the 25th of June.
Yes.
And
this the elevation. I mean, it's, you know, you're right around 67 or just below 7,000 where we first started seeing some snow patches, but you know, in the trees at 7,000 feet and above, there's still a significant amount of snow in that particular area. And I know up in the Tahoe, I've ran across that as well. But
so, how many feet are we talking?
Well, let's just say at the let's just take a round number at the 7,500 foot area where we had to turn around. because it was getting late in the day and there was literally 12 to 15 feet of snow in this, you know, it was a,
it's crazy,
a north facing shaded, heavily wooded area. So right. It wasn't seeing a whole lot of sun.
The area that we'll typically see two or three.
We always see a couple little drifts in there, but nothing major. Right. And, you know, we get in there, we actually had to winch up a couple hills, that we could not climb up. And I had my buggy.
Uh-huh.
And we had a well set up Toyota and a CJ7, well set up CJ7 with us. And it was great. We had a ball.
Oh, that's cool.
Just navigating the snow and finding the trail at times. Luckily, the guy with the CJ, has some great mapping software on his iPad.
Gaia GPS. We'll have to bring him on and have him kind of give us.
Yeah, that would be a good podcast to talk about Mesa because it's super cool. I've seen him use it before. We went on the Arneson 1000 with that software
we talked about
last time with Rodney, our special guest, was on that run. And I mean, without that software, we'd probably still be out there.
Oh.
But trying to find the trail, I mean. You know, there's no diamonds on the trees or anything.
Well, the trails are marked, but you got to be near the trail to see the mark.
But it when you know in the summertime, it's no big deal. You just stay on the trail. But
right.
When the snail trail's covered with snow. There you go. See, I'm thinking about you boys there over there.
Yeah.
We had one Toyota with us. He got stuck a couple times.
Kind of fell through.
Didn't he? Toyota. Yeah, he crashed through a couple times. He actually rolled it over on his side.
Uh-oh, sushi roll.
It was a total sushi roll. Toyota sushi roll. Yellowfin tuna. But, you know, he laid it up against the bank. And but, it, you know, two wheels were up in the air. And
pictures.
If that bank wasn't there, it would definitely be all the way over on the side.
Lawn dart.
Yeah. And then he did lawn dart into, you know, you got the water is just amazing coming out of the hills and the runoff, of the snow melting. And it runs under these snow berms and creates these tunnels. It just starts melting, and it looks all cool on top, and you're driving along. I mean, even with the buggy with 43s, I dropped into a couple holes, and it swallowed up the 43s like nothing.
Yeah, but we can probably think about a boner award for you, too.
Why is that?
Because I heard your air pressure was really high.
Yeah, but I still kicked ass.
You still kicked ass.
Okay, I did.
Well, I wasn't there, so
no, you weren't even there, so the boner award goes to you, loser, for not even being there.
Well, I'm wearing a propeller hat, so.
I that buggy moved more trees and snow than it earned its keep.
There
I was a... You know, driving this thing, and I'm still learning it, and it's got stickies, which I know stickies typically don't do too well in the snow, from what I heard. And so, but a couple times I was digging in, and I'm like, well, that's kind of odd, because this thing's really lightweight.
Right.
And it's got a wide footprint, but it's got those, you know,
humongous tires.
Big sticky tires, 43s, and I'm like, man, I got 4 pounds in these tires. And from King of the Hammers. And I don't ever remember airing them up, but apparently one night I aired them up and I was running 14 pounds. I checked them at the end of the day because we were talking about it and going, dude, this thing shouldn't be digging. I aired down and a whole different game.
Whole
it was a game changer. But the testament was that I was able to do everything with 14 pounds.
Well, shit. It's a tractor.
And the coilover suspension. I'm used to leaf spring. The coilover suspension, the thing was so smooth on the trail, and we were hauling ass and hitting snowbanks and pulling logs and having a good time. But anyways, are we going to Skype in, or how are we going to remotely get Kobe, our Georgia boy, in on this conversation? Because he was my right seat, and he helped out a lot. He was in and out of that thing. He got a workout.
This is a new technical adventure for us.
And Chris does have his propeller hat on right now.
I am wearing my propeller hat.
He should be able to figure this out.
So we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can make this happen.
All right. See if we can Skype in Kobe and get some firsthand experience from him on what the adopted trail was like from the right seat.
So stand by, faithful listeners.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to fill up my glass. All right. Here we go. And... we are first time, what is it, Skype? Is that what we're using?
Skype.
Okay, here we go. Another breakthrough for Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. And we've got our old friend Kobe on the line here.
Kobe,
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. The Georgia boy is in the house here via Skype. How'd you figure out how to operate Skype?
Hey, I just downloaded it tonight onto the phone and created an account. That was the easy part.
Okay, well, there you go. That's some pretty good ingenuity there.
Nice. Exactly. And I don't even have a propeller hat.
No, you don't have a propeller hat. Well, yeah, Chris, we're going to have to get it monogrammed with Wheeling Wine and Whiskey for Chris.
More importantly, I didn't have to ask my wife, how do I do Skype?
Well, see, now that's really good. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So this is my first time using Skype. So here we go. So bringing you on board to episode number 8 here. We just got back from our adopter trail. I was talking a little bit about that.
Yep.
So that's up off of Highway 4, just below Bear Valley Ski Resort in Northern California here. Tamarack, California, up above Murphy's, nice little wine country region there. So you were by Right Seat in the buggy. What did you think of the experience from the right seat of the buggy there?
You know, my opinion of the buggy is if you can find a former Ultra 4 King of the Hammers a buggy like that, you should buy that instead of a stupid side-by-side.
Wow. Well, there you go. And that was pretty much the impetus of buying that thing, is all my friends were buying these side-by-sides, and I said, hey, I want to go get something with a V8 motor and big axles and tires that I could actually rock crawl in and do the side-by-side stuff with. So, it was pretty fun cruising over the snow. The winch worked good. I'd never operated a Smitty built winch before, but I was pretty impressed with that thing. It's a Smitty built 12,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's almost the same. It's a newer model than the one I have on my Jeep. I've been using the Smitty built one for, you know, years.
Okay.
Never had any problems out of it, so I haven't replaced it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a Warren diehard guy. I've been so impressed with my Warren on the Jeep and saw this one that came with a buggy, and I'm like, well, okay, we'll give it a shot. It's got synthetic rope on it, so that's great. I love the synthetic rope on the winches. We had one guy out there, Ed with the Toyota, and you pulled that winch cable a few times, Gobi, that wire winch rope.
That was probably when we go someplace, we usually don't have to winch unless, you know, there's something crazy going on. But, you know, that trip, this trip was a lot of winching, trees out of the trail and other stuff. And the difference between, you know, hand pulling, putting the winch in free spool.
Oh yeah,
and being able to get a synthetic cable, a synthetic rope out versus a metal cable makes all the difference in the world. It's so much easier if you're the person on the winch to hook up, do things with it, especially when you're at, you know, you've gone from basically sea level by the ocean to 7,000 feet.
Yeah. You were getting your workout jumping in and out of the buggy all weekend.
Yes, I was. I have muscles that are sore that I didn't know I had.
It's not easy to get in and out of.
Yeah, the only bad thing about the buggy is, that's probably the only thing bad about it, because you don't hop in the buggy.
No.
You kind of put the buggy on. It's kind of like a wetsuit to get in and out of. You've got to kind of turn this way, you know, force things this way, and then get this way. But once you're settled in, you're good to go.
Oh, yeah. Except for all the snow coming on the inside and the water and mud.
Well, you know, yeah, buggy does not have fenders, so we had the 43-inch tall tires. Typically would have a snowball fight with Jason and I both when the throttle got engaged.
Yeah, it was like a four-wheel snowball fight. Snow coming in from all directions.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just fun and hilarious. So.
My experience on that, Kobe, is when I rode in that thing a month or two ago, it's like I didn't want to get out anymore because it was too exhausting.
Yeah, try doing it for 2 days of Adopt-A-Trail.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in and out a lot, running the chainsaw, winching logs out of the way. But we got quite a bit done until we didn't. We got to the three-quarters of the way through the Corral Hollow Trail, and we winched up a snow-covered hill because we were digging in, and it just couldn't make it up any of
us. We got to the top of the hill, and that's when we hit.
That's right.
All kinds of snow, and there was no way around.
Yeah, 10, 15 foot snow drifts. We were looking using the mapping software to figure out where the trail was, and CJ goes, "Oh yeah, the trail's right here." I'm like, "Well, that ain't happening." Well, let's go over here. You know, maybe we can go around this. Okay, that's passable. We can go over the snow here, but then there was another huge drift just that would slide you right into trees. So it would have been a winch fest of 4 or 5 hours to get through it. And it was already pushing, 4 o'clock? And we were supposed to be back 4 at camp o'clock. At 6 for dinner. Yeah. And we had a long day.
Our alcohol to blood ratio was severely depleted at that point. So, severely.
That's right. We were good. Zero alcohol on the trail, and was looking forward to getting back to camp, getting a shower, and having a good dinner, and imbibing a little bit. And we did imbibe a little bit, a little celebratory cocktail when we got back. Jack and Coke. I don't know. Did you have Jack and Coke? You were busy when we got back to camp.
I pretty much had a couple of beers, and then we went into the wine.
That's right. Then we had a couple bottles of wine.
Yep, exactly.
Well, we came back. Apparently, we missed some excitement in the afternoon. The other group came in from the opposite end of the trail, and we were planning on meeting together in the trail. Well, they only got about a mile in because of so much snow. But so they got back to camp early, and apparently a 19-year-old kid on a quad, I guess, had ran into a tree or something cracked his helmet.
He had rolled the four-wheeler of some type and hit his head
and
on
cracked
the
his
left,
helmet.
Left side, yeah.
And cracked his skull. The fire department, I was talking to one of the guys from the fire up there, Calaveras Fire, and he was saying that, and he said he had to be going at extreme speeds. But anyways, we had a couple members of our club with the Jeeps get them some of the personnel to the site there the incident because they couldn't get in because of all the snow.
Wow.
So
that was the Ebbets Pass Fire District.
Okay.
There, and they've actually got a nice little thing on their Facebook page. I don't know if you've seen that yet or not, because it has the picture of your mud freckled shirt with the Esprit de Four
the
logo.
Esprit de Four logo. I did see that. I'm like, hey, I recognize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a little shout out for them. Well, it was nice that we were there and able to help. I should say our club was there and able to help. We were out working on the trail at that point. But yeah, that's unfortunate accident, but hopefully kid's doing okay. They life flighted him out, and hopefully everything worked out in that arena. But so Adopt-A-Trail is always an adventure, and this year was no exception. It's probably one of the funnest Adopt-A-Trails I was on. Cool. Because of all the snow. We always have trees and stuff to cut up and move, and that's fun. But and trying to figure out how to winch them or pull them. But with the snow this year, and just trying to get through the snow in summer in June, I should say, we're almost technically summer, I guess. It's summer in my mind. Is it technically summer now?
Summer.
It's officially summer. Okay, great. So snow wheeling in June is pretty epic.
Yes, definitely. That is definitely epic.
But we did at least I know I came back. My pants were soaking wet from all the snow that was in the seat packing in around me. And
the snowballs were pretty consistent. Either land in your lap, land next to your right hip, or straight down your back.
Oh, yeah, we did get a few down the back.
The tires were very consistent at throwing them at just the perfect arc.
It did. And then we got some pretty cool videos on the way out. CJ did throwing some snow. But
I don't know why, but your tire kept trying to throw in, snow in on my side of the rig, where my side never threw it to your side.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how you plan that out.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. And then I don't think anybody really had mechanical issues that day. We had one minor that was an easy fix. You want to talk about what happened there in the buggy, Kobe?
As far as
overheating, I was overheating.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. We had two minor problems. I stretched out my leg one time as we're blasting down the trail, and my foot started. Well, we suddenly had a vibration coming from the front.
Yeah, there was a significant vibration from the front end, and I'm like, yes. You know, I'm very in tune with my vehicles. I'm always listening, and I mean, I got music and stuff going, but I'm always listening and feeling the vehicle for any potential issues, right? And the floor is vibrating, and I feel it, and I look over at Kobe, and I go, what the hell's going on?
Come to find out, Kobe's foot hit the on switch for the Vi-Air compressor
The compressor's right up there, and the switch is near where you put your feet. There's not a whole lot of room in that buggy. No. It's not for comfort, that's for sure.
And I'm trying to kick it off with my foot, and finally, you know, Jason has to unbuckle, shift around.
Oh, yeah.
That little bitty cockpit and try and get his hand up there to turn it off.
That's all going to change. I've got an ARB twin to put in that bad boy to fill up those 43s if I ever need to. So, yeah. You know, if I ever air them down, apparently I run around at 14 PSI. So, we'll get this thing figured out yet. But there was, I was driving along and we're blasting through the snow and everything. And that thing, you know, it's got an LS motor in it and likes to run around 200. Degrees, which is fine. It's got two electric fans on it, one that kicks on at 195, the other one at 205, and it stays right there. Yep. And, you know, you're turning those 43s in the snow, and there was some RPMs, some heavy right foot at times. creating a little bit of heat. And it was like 220, and then it started creeping up to 230, and I'm like, okay, something's not right. So I'm like, okay, so I get out of the buggy and I look. At the, you know, one fan's running and the other fan's not. And I'm like, well, okay, this ain't right. And the motor's smoking on that fan that's not running. I'm like, uh-oh, we smoked a motor. And so I'm looking at it and I go, what the heck? And I tried to spin at my hand and it wouldn't spin. It was hanging up. And I look and Kobe had his backpack there with a really long whip antenna on his handheld ham.
You have a mighty big antenna.
And that antenna
Now, let's get this straight. The antenna is probably about the thickness of paracord.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's like a. It's not like, thick, but it's long. I mean, the
Hold
thing's
on
like.
While I whip this out.
Well, it got jammed in there in the fan. I assume that it just kind of worked its way in while the fan was off, and then the fan tried to start and wouldn't go. And luckily, we caught it in time because I was able to pack some snow on the motor and cool it down and started up the buggy, and it worked out great. So that's awesome. Those were the only two mechanicals that we really had. Other than that, I think everything else went pretty smooth that day. It took us, 5 hours to get into the Snowmageddon and an hour and a half to get out?
Yeah, it was about 5 hours that took. Clearing trees and doing all the work on the trail, and then turn around, all the work's done, about an hour and a half to get out.
We obviously didn't have to deal with trees, but we had some snow to deal with. We didn't have to winch on the way out. We almost did. The Toyota laid on the side, did a little sushi roll on us, a little yellow tuna on ice. Said, but he was having a blast. Ed was having a good time out there and just broke through the snow and laid it on the side. But that was right towards the end of the trail. So,
lucky he was up against a bank and we were able just to push him off enough to where he could reverse back out of it and take another stab at it.
Yeah, we didn't even have to winch there, huh? You guys, you and CJ just kind of laid on the cage and got him enough traction to back out.
CJ and I were both able just to push it off and get him back on
Yeah.
A little bit of four tires.
Of course, I was documenting the occasion as I usually do when those instances happen, right, Chris? Or somebody crashes or something, you know, we got it. The first thing is the camera comes out and video.
Yeah, in typical fashion, we listen to hear if the person in the rig is okay and if they're laughing.
Oh, he was laughing.
Breaking out cameras.
Yeah, no, camera video was rolling, everything. So that was cool. Yeah, and then we got back to camp and, like I said, had a.
Started the party
and learned about the events of the recovery that the other club members had. But so overall, a great weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't get all the way through the trail, but we definitely had a blast and got three quarters away, the trail three quarters open. And that snow will melt in the next few weeks, and then the trail will be 100% open. So we'll send some more club members up there. And there will be trees down, and we didn't even get to our other two adopted trails up there. So those are going to have to be cleared. But it was a good weekend. You missed out, Chris.
Is there a timeline as to when the Forest Service is going to open the gates?
The gate is open. There's a little plastic barrier there right now on 7 and 09 for people that are familiar with that area. It's one of the main roads that go in off of Highway 4.
Right by Cabbage Patch.
Yeah, exactly. Right by Cabbage Patch and the observation point there. So I don't know. You know, their paperwork says the end of June, you know, that's posted on the barriers. And but realistically, that snow is still going to be there at the end of July in those higher elevations that are shaded. So,
yeah,
you know, no doubt.
So, yeah.
Okay, definitely. Kobe, we're going to have to wrap up. Do you have any closing comments or takeaways from Adopt-A-Trail this year?
No, it was a good time. It's important work to help keep trails open because definitely the Forest Service doesn't have the manpower or the equipment.
Yeah, the resources.
The resources to be able to go and clear all the trails everywhere. So it's good that clubs all over do adopt the trails and try and keep our trails open.
Yeah, and there's several clubs, in California here that have adopted trails, and a lot of those trails, if not all of those trails, would be closed if they weren't adopted by a club. I know that's our case up there off of Highway 4. We've been doing it over 15 years, and the Forest Service, you know, welcomes us up there. It's fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too. And nice. You feel good at the end of the day that you accomplished something and helping keep that trail open. And there's a lot of families that go up to these trails that we do. They're not ridiculously hard.
No.
You know,
no.
It's not crazy Rubicon rock crawling, but it's some really good challenging fire roads and some hills and
dispersed camping.
It's a great area, and it's close to the Bay Area, and anytime you can get out of the Bay Area and go camping and wheeling a little bit, it's great.
But as always, tread lightly.
Yeah, and that's part of it is, you know, we go through and block off those tributary trails that rise, and we like to get up there early, right when the snow melts so that we can prevent people from driving around trees and creating new bypasses and tearing up the terrain along the trail. So anyways, well, good stuff, Kobe. Well, thanks for joining in tonight. I know you're a busy man and you're getting ready for another trip, but it was great having you on tonight again. Who knows? You might be a featured guest on our podcast here. This is number two.
Now that we got the Skype thing figured out, it's a little easier.
Yeah, see? So this is good. Remote Skype. So right on, man. Well, enjoy your weekend. Thanks again for helping out with the Adopted Trail and hopping onto our podcast here.
All right. Y'all take it easy.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we're back, and that was kind of cool getting to Skype in there. Our technical department with the propeller hat—that apparently it's paying off. It worked out pretty good for our first Skype interview.
Absolutely, thank you, Kobe, for coming in on Skype and talking with us about Adopt-A-Trail.
So that was nice. So, yeah, we're making big headway here on Wheel and Wine and Whiskey. What's next, Chris?
It's all about Lorenzo. He's really
technical.
He works his ass off.
He does work his ass off. He really does. Nice. So All right, before we wrap up, we are wheeling now, or at least some of us are wheeling at the studio here at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Yeah, well, you know, real life gets in the way. What do you got? I know you're going to go wheeling again, it sounds
like. Of course, of course. It is. Tis the season. This is my thing. So since the snow's melting and we can't ski anymore, it's wheeling time.
Where are you going?
Trail up in the Sierras. I don't know if many people have heard of it. It's pretty difficult. Been around for a long time. What?
Strawberry?
Strawberry? No, I have never done that trail, actually. I would. That is on my to-do list.
Oh.
They just opened that back up.
That's what I heard. It was one of the ones that was closed.
Yeah. I think Jimmy's Club did some work there. That's their adopted trail and got that trail open again.
Wasn't it the High Sierra 4x4
Boys? Well, yeah. It's the same club.
Oh, is that the same club?
Yeah.
Oh,
see?
I didn't know
Look
that.
Look at you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But anyway, so I'm heading up to the Rubicon Trail, if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be very busy at all. This is going to be the, it opened up a week ago.
People have gotten all the way through?
Yeah, a week ago. And then this past weekend, you know, I'm sure it was a zoo up there, and this next weekend's going to be a zoo. I know of three different groups that are going to be up there. I think that Robicon group's going to be up there this week.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
so Jimmy and Tyler talked about that.
Yeah. So they interviewed them. So anyways, always a great time out there. You know, wonderful trail. Weather should be great. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
So I packed three bottles of off. Looking forward to getting out there to the springs.
Make sure you put on your off.
Put on your off. Off your on. Honor. Your offer. Your honor. Off.
Joel, get off the babysitter.
So anyways, yeah, so look for a report on that. We've got quite a few vehicles going in our group. I got invited to go with a club that I've been hanging out with. I know quite a few people in a really good club. The Mad Hatters out of your neck of the woods.
Yeah, they're based out of, I guess they used to be meeting in Livermore. Now they meet in Dublin or Pleasanton.
I don't know. It moves. Meeting locations are tough in the Bay Area.
Little known fact, years ago I was actually a Mad Hatter.
You were. Yeah. You were. That's right. So there you go. And now you just, you know, talk about wheeling and
I'm just mad.
We got to change that. We're working. I'm pushing Chris towards a vehicle that potentially is going to be for sale here, a Jeep that's very well set up with coilovers and linked suspension. Yeah. And
we'll see if we can make it happen.
You got to see your future, be your make your future, Danny. Okay. So I'm telling you, it's going to be way cheaper than building up your Barbie Jeep.
Trust me, you're preaching to the choir. I get
it. So. All you got to do is make a phone call and write a check, and it's a done deal. Or, you know, unbury a couple of those mayonnaise jars in your backyard. I mean, that it'd be super simple for you, a guy with your means.
If I had Jason money.
No. Jason doesn't have money. You have the money.
Yeah.
Neighbor Jim down the street has the money.
I better check his couches, I guess.
I'm just a poor boy going out trying to four-wheel.
All right.
So, yeah, Rubicon coming up, and I'm excited. I've been out in the garage wrenching at nights. It's been great therapy. You get out there doing a little, modifications, checking oils and, you know, fabricating some stuff. I'm not a huge, I wouldn't say a class A fabricator, but I seem to get everything done that I need done. And I have access to, mill and lathe and.
Well, you're hell with a saw and making legs for a table.
That's right. So I even modified the table tonight. So, it got some skills, but I'm always learning and willing to learn and, improve on those skills. And that's how you do it. And that's what's been great over the 30 some odd years, the old CJ5's come a long ways and still making some minor modifications here and there and keeping things going. So,
yep.
It is ready to go. It's got a full tank of gas. Clothes are packed. I just need to figure out food and get the Jeep on the trailer and off we go.
Perfect. Tra-la.
So, I'll send you pics once again this weekend of the event.
Until my
hopefully
work world gets squared away, I am working.
Yeah, work's highly overrated.
It sucks.
I know.
So, okay, Jason. Well, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing about your Rubicon adventure.
There we go.
Adventure.
So we're going to wrap this up.
We're going to wrap this up. How do people get a hold of us there, Jason?
Well, wheelingwineandwhiskey.com.
That's our website.
That is our website. Fantastic. And then emails, any hate mail goes to Chris at wheelingwineandwhiskey.com. Nice. Propeller head comments, highly encouraged.
Hey, that hat came in handy tonight.
It really did. I got to say it. It was one of your better Amazon purchases.
Absolutely. And Jason is Jason at wheelingwineandwhiskey.com.
That's it.
And, of course, we have our Instagram. It's Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, right?
Yeah, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, all spelled out.
And it was updated today with new pictures.
Yep. So we got Rodney's JL on there. It's a pretty sexy Jeep, I have to admit.
That picture is bone stock. I don't think he's had made any
moss. No, I know, but it's a good-looking rig. And I learned a little bit about the JLUR or whatever.
Yep, JLUR. You know,
Wrangler
Unlimited
Edition.
Rubicon. That's
I don't
the
know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I just know the CJ thing.
Yep. Well, you're
I'm learning
your
the buggy
age.
Thing.
Well, but of course, Rodney's our age, so, you know.
I don't know. Anyways, very cool stuff, Chris. So that's all I got.
You have nothing else?
I have nothing else.
I got nothing else. So we are out.